All right. Okay, go over to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we're learning about the New Testament church. Pinag-aaralan natin kung ano ang New Testament church. At mga nakaraang linggo, nakita natin ang iba't ibang mga churches ng Bagong Tipan. At ngayon, pinag-aaralan natin ng husto ang specific churches. We're just taking a look at a number of specific churches. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the church in Jerusalem. Last week, we learned about the church at Antioch in Syria. That's this church here. Antioch, Syria. Jerusalem would be down in Israel over here. Antioch, Syria would be up here. And now, we're going to look at the churches of southern Galatia, or Asia Minor. This would be modern-day Turkey. Today, if you look at the map, so it'll be Turkey. And then, for the most part, these are no longer around. But they were around during the time of Paul and Barnabas in his first missionary journey. And they were sent out and they planted churches, because church is the number one program of the Lord for today. So you want to be involved in something that God ordained, that God prescribes. Make sure you're saved, you're born again. Then after you're saved, make sure you become a member of a biblical Baptist church, a church that upholds the truths of the Word of God, a church that assembles and is organized and is interested in evangelism and discipleship. So you want a church that's biblical, okay? So Galatians chapter number 1, this time, tonight we're going to look at the churches of southern Galatia. Galatians chapter number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Now, why would Paul start out his letter to the Galatian churches in a way that defends his apostleship? Well, there's problems in southern Galatia, in the churches of Galatia. And that's why he has to start his letter so tierce, so sharply in a way. Look over again. Paul, an apostle, not of men. You know what he's saying? I didn't become an apostle because some man chose me to be an apostle. I wasn't sent by man. Neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. If you want to know who made me an apostle, and the word apostle means sent one, someone who was sent, someone who was commissioned. He said, it was Jesus who commissioned me. Jesus sent me, and God the Father. Verse number 2, and all the brethren which are with me. And so also, this would be Luke and Timothy and Silas and the missionary team that he had with him. By the time he wrote this letter, it was no doubt Epaphras and so many others that were Aquila and Priscilla and others that were joined Paul's missionary team and missionary endeavor to plant churches all over the world. But all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. The churches of Galatia. So who did Paul write to? Well, he wrote the book of Galatians, or the letter of Galatians, to the churches of Galatia. And so this is who we have, are the churches of Galatia. There was Antioch of Pisidia, not the Antioch of Syria. Okay, there are two different Antiochs, and let's not get that confused. They planted a church there. They planted a church in Iconium. Lystra, where Timothy was from, so a year later after he planted that church, he went back to that church and he found a young man, a disciple, who he brought with him to the work of the ministry and trained him, and eventually Timothy becomes the pastor over in Ephesus, but that'll be later. And then there's Derbe, and the church at Derbe and Lystra recommended Timothy to the work of the ministry. And so you see, the church has a vital role in recommending and sending, and that's a biblical thing. So, unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace, verse number 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. He brings the church's attention to the grace of God. The grace of God, and how Jesus died for our sins, and how Jesus will deliver us from this present evil world. And there's a reason why Paul was starting to explain these things right at the introduction. He's correcting the churches of Galatia. Something happened. Something transpired. Look at verse number 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. That's a weakness. That's a weakness of the church, of the churches of Galatia. They were removed. Now I want to stress this. Removed. Okay, we're looking at strengths. Strengths and weaknesses. Well, let's start with the weakness here. He said, you are removed. Removed. That means they stood for something at one point in their history, in the church history, when they were founded, they held to a particular teaching and doctrine, and then all of a sudden, maybe after a year or two, some people came in and taught them something totally different. And now they're beginning to believe false teaching and false teachers. And they were removed. They were moved. They were removed. They shifted. They changed. Now there are some changes that are good. But the kind of changes that the churches of Galatia experience is not good. All right? So go over here to verse number 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. So easily removed. He taught them something, and now somebody else comes behind him, and they start to forget what he taught them and start following the false teachers. You're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. These are very important words. They were removed from grace. They did not understand the importance of grace. They didn't think that this was significant. And then they were removed from the gospel of Christ. Do you know what the gospel is? But if you don't know what the gospel is, you're probably not saved. See, if you're saved, if you're born again, you ought to know what the gospel is. Okay? What's the gospel? The word gospel means good news. What's so good about the news? What's the good news? Yeah, are you looking for good news? I'm looking for some good news today. I've been looking for good news for a few hours now. I haven't gotten that the news I'm looking for. But God has given us a gospel, a good news. What is the good news? You know what the good news is? You're on your way to hell. You're going to die in your sin, and God's going to judge you and send you to a lake of fire. But Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried according to the Scriptures, and then He rose again according to the Scriptures, proving that He is the Savior, proving that He has power over death, He has power to forgive sin, He has power to deliver us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus proved that He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. Hey, you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to do that. You can have your sins forgiven. Is that good news? That's good news. Now, that's what the gospel is. And you need to receive the gospel. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. It doesn't cost you anything, but it costs Jesus everything. You see, it costs God the Father, His only begotten Son. You see, He died on the cross. He's the one who did the work for you. You don't have to work. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the gospel. Now, the churches of Galatia were taught that. In order for there to be a church, there had to be gospel preaching first. Because the only way you can form a church is by making sure that the ingredients are saved disciples and baptized disciples. Those are your requirements for a church. But if you're not saved, you don't know the gospel, that's you're out. That's a strike. Okay? So the Galatian churches were removed from the grace and the gospel message. Now, what is grace? We know what the gospel is. The gospel means good news. What's grace? You know what grace is? Grace is God not giving you what you deserve. You know what you really deserve? You know what I deserve? You know what we all deserve as sinners? We deserve the lake of fire. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve to burn for eternity because we offended a holy God. We sin against Him. That's what we deserve. But God's grace meets us, and He gives us salvation by grace, by His goodness. And you know what? You know what's opposite of grace? Works. Works. The opposite of grace is works. Works. I have to do this in order to get saved. No, you don't. If you know the grace of God, God is the one who does everything for us. We don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve salvation. But God gives us heaven. God gives us salvation on the basis of His grace. Not on the basis of our works. And this is what the churches of Galatia were removed from. Paul taught them. Paul established them as churches. And then right behind Paul, when Paul left them and went back to Antioch and Jerusalem, when Paul left them, there were some people who came behind him called Judaizers. Judaizers. They came right behind Paul. And they basically told the churches, hey, listen, Paul, he's confused. He's not your pastor. Paul is a Yeah, he may have founded the churches here. He may have helped you along. But let me help you some more. You need to follow the law of Moses. You see? You need to continue the ceremony. You need to continue obeying the law of Moses. If you want to maintain your salvation, if you want to keep your salvation, you got to work for it. You see? You got to do the works if you want to get saved, if you want to stay saved. And so they told the churches that don't worry about Paul. Paul's confused. And that's why Paul, when he wrote this letter, he had to start out by saying, I'm an apostle. I'm not an apostle because some man made me an apostle. No, they didn't call me to be an apostle. You didn't call me to be an apostle. Jesus and God the Father called me to be an apostle. And now he's going to straighten them. He's going to share with them this beautiful letter of Galatians. And the you need to read the entire letter. It's only six chapters. Very short letter. If you want a good dose of the grace of God in your life, if you want to learn about the grace of God, and how the grace of God transforms a person and keeps a person saved by the power of God without the works of the law, read the letter of Galatians. So, verse number 7, Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Well, here's one of the strengths of the church at Galatian churches. One of their strengths is that they received... Received. And they received the gospel readily, happily, instantly. Readily. They received the gospel readily and happily, but the strength is also the weakness. Because just as much as they received the gospel quickly, they also quickly were removed from there. Okay? And that's not a good thing. Now, they were saved. They were born again by the grace of God. And even if they believed in false teaching, it doesn't change the fact that they are still born again and saved. You understand that? You're not saved because of your works. You're saved by the grace of God. And they receive the Lord, they are saved, and then some teacher came in and taught and messed them up, but it doesn't mean that they are no longer saved. Once a person is born again and saved, they will always be born again and saved, even if they get confused, or forget, or even blinded, you know, by false teaching. But the important thing is they trusted in the Lord and were saved. Now, Paul's warning them, though, which is not another, verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Pervert the gospel of Christ. These Judaizers were perverting. They were changing the gospel. You know, the gospel is Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. You know what the Judaizers are saying? Hey, Jesus' payment is good, but it's not enough. You need to work. You need to do something. Like keep the law of Moses and observe the Sabbath and restrict your food. No, you can't eat pork. And you know you can't do this and you can't do that. And, you know, all of that has nothing to do with the gospel. But because they believed wrong about the gospel, they were in danger of perverting the gospel. You guys, you need to be careful. We as a church, we need to be reminded about this. That we cannot change the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not in charge of changing the gospel changing the grace of God, changing the message. Look, the gospel is really simple. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. That's the good news. You may not think so, but that doesn't change the truth. You may think you have to add to the gospel, but that's not the gospel truth. You don't need to add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ. He did it all. It's complete. It's finished. All you have to do is believe and trust in Him. Rely on Him. Now, some people, they make it hard. They say, well, you got to become a member of the church. Now, that is not the gospel. Church membership will never save anybody. Because church is, yes, it's an assembly of baptized disciples, but church is also a company of a bunch of rotten, filthy sinners saved by the grace of God, if they are truly saved. And there are church members who are not saved. So don't tell me I'm a member of the church. You know, yeah, you're a member of the church going to an eternal hell if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Okay, verse number 8. But though we, look at what Paul was saying, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Oh, Paul is teaching these churches. I don't care if another apostle shows up. I don't care if an angelic messenger from Satan shows up and tells you, hey, you need to believe in the law of Moses. You need to start obeying the law of Moses in order to keep your salvation. That's another gospel. Another gospel. That is not grace. That is works. Opposite. And even if it comes from an angel, you should know better. You know, just because an angel shows up, you know, whoa, what a great miracle in light and wings, you know, the flashy light, you know, start believing in the Lord, start believing in the another gospel. Hey, we're to reject that. We're to reject that. We don't change the gospel just because. All right. Verse number 9. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. So can we change the Bible? Can we change the message of the Word of God? No, we can't do that. And we don't want to do that. You know, I'm so thankful that our message at Mount Zion Baptist Missions, and one day we're going to be a New Testament Baptist church, but the message has never changed. Will you understand that? We are preaching a 2,000-year-old gospel. We're preaching the same message that Paul preached unto the churches. We're not changing it. We're not interested. Now, some people are like, oh, you need to add the feasts. You need to add the ceremony. You need to add ritual. No, you don't. We don't need any of that. The gospel is complete in Jesus Christ. And we don't need any of that. And we don't want any of that. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so Paul is not interested in making friends and influencing people. Paul is interested in pleasing Christ. And if you pervert the gospel of Christ, you cannot please Christ. You are not pleasing to Christ. So all these religious organizations that pretend to be churches and they call themselves churches, you just ask them, what is the gospel? If they don't know what the gospel is, or they give you a different gospel, then that's proof right there. They are not a biblical church. Okay? And so all these religious organizations have different ideas of who is God, who is Jesus, what is the Bible. You know, some of them Most of them, actually, they don't take the Bible alone. They add to the Bible. They have a book or Bible notes or something or magazine on top of the Bible, or they change the Bible itself, you know. That's why we use the King James Bible. You know, this is an old Bible. This Bible's been around for since 1611 and beyond, okay? And we use the old Bible. Why? Because we don't change the message. And new translations today change the words. I'll tell you something. That is a curse, Paul says. That's a curse to change the words of God. It's not a matter of, oh, this Bible here explains it better. This Bible here has nicer words, more understanding words, you know. Yeah, but you're missing words, and you're correcting the Bible, and you're changing it, and you're not done changing. By the way, the new translations are based on 28th edition of the critical text, which... their 29th edition's getting ready to be released. And there'll be more changes in the future. And then the 30th edition will be released by 2030. You know, then they're going to have the greater... They're finally going to settle with the greater critical text that will be released in the future. And that's going to change the English Bibles. Okay? So modern translations are not done changing the words of God. Hey, listen... our Bible, you cannot change. This Bible here will never change. The message will never change. The words will never change as long as you have it. It's not subject to change. They just updated the New American Standard Version Bible. They just started again. So, anyway, I'm fine. I can see everything here, and I even have this. Okay, I'm doing okay. So anyway, this is the strengths and weaknesses of the churches of Galatian, the southern Galatian churches. And then they had another problem. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Paul had to correct them about the gospel, and Paul had to correct them about liberty, their freedom as a Christian. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage. Hey, listen, if Jesus makes you free, guess what? You're free. Free to do what? Free to sin? Free to just do whatever you want to do? No. The freedom that Jesus gives you is the freedom to do that which is right. You are free to love the Lord. You are free to serve the Lord. You are free to study His Word. You are free to pray and bring all your needs and concerns to the Heavenly Father. You are free to join a biblical church. You are free to serve Him. The freedom of a Christian is the freedom to do right. It is not, oh man, you mean God forgives me? I can do whatever I want to do. I can just lie and cheat and steal and use my liberty for an occasion of sin. Now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that way today. A lot of Christians says, well, you know, God will forgive me. So I'll just go ahead and do whatever I want to do and live however I want to live. And you know what? That's abusing your liberty. Look at verse 13, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So you know what? Our Christian liberty, yes, we're free, but we're not free to sin. And we're not free to just skip church and do whatever we want to do. We're free to make up our own worship. You know, no, we're free to use rock music. You know that? No. We're free to sin and to do wrong. No, that's not Christian freedom. That's not the freedom of the Bible. And Paul is saying this to the churches of Galatia because these Judaizers influenced them and said, hey, listen, you can live however which way you want to live. You're free. No, you're free to serve the Lord. You're free to do right. You are not free to do the fleshly works. Okay? And so these are the strengths. They received the word of God. They were established at churches. But at the same time, their strength is also their weakness. They were soon removed from the grace and the gospel of Christ. And let's protect ourselves as individual Christians. Let's maintain the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not share another gospel. We're not interested in saying, okay, you need to pray and receive the Lord. Now you need to start doing things in order to keep saved or in order to become saved. No, that's not the gospel. And so then let's also not remember not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You know, when God saves you, He cleanses you and He wants to use you for His honor and His glory. Now, what is the place that God intends to use the Christian? The church, exactly. He wants to use every Christian in a biblically assembled church. Okay? That's the plan of God. And so, and we are free by the grace of God to serve the Lord. Amen. Not to serve ourselves. Not to serve our flesh. We're free to serve Him. Okay? All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless. Next week we'll look at, okay, we saw the southern Galatian churches. Next week we're going to go to Europe. We're going to cross over and we're going to look at the churches of Macedonia and the church of Greece. The churches of Greece and the churches of Macedonia, and that'll be Europe, okay? And that should complete our series on the New Testament church and that we've been studying. All right, I don't see any questions. I think we're clear on that. If you have any questions, you could just email us. Yung email address na sa Facebook page natin. And then we'll try to answer your question some other time. All right? But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. And Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the truths of Scripture and how important it is, Lord, to have the right gospel, the only gospel that would save, the only gospel that you've entrusted us with. Help us not to change the gospel. Help us not to teach another gospel. Help us not to use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Help us to trust in you, Lord, and to bear the fruits of the Spirit rather in our lives rather than the flesh. And Lord, we ask that your grace would be continually upon us, Lord, and help establish this work in Tuktukan that we might be a lighthouse in the community for the glory of God. We love you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon us now. In Jesus' name, amen.